and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schur. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. I thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z, where each week I pick a new band or musician going through the whole alphabet in order with no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin the show, I will read my disclaimer. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this podcast. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. My mission is simply to share my love of the music with you. And I hope to turn many of you on to the music, the bands, and the albums you possibly weren't familiar with before. And as always, I urge you to always legally purchase, legally download their music. The musicians need your support, and I hope that my show contributes to spreading the good word about these bands. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done from my pure love of the music. I am so stoked for today's episode, as I am going to indulge in one of my current favorite bands, the awesome, the amazing, the Queens of the Stone Age. I don't have enough time on this show to express my love for this band. In my opinion, Queens of the Stone Age, or more specifically, Josh Homme, because the band now is basically a vehicle for his talents, is head and shoulders the best hard rock band over the past 20 years. Their music continues to grow and change up from album to album. I can't think of another rock band out there that has maintained such a high quality of music, yet output such a diverse style of music. So I suppose I should get to a very brief history just so that all of the listeners are on the same page. Queens of the Stone Age was formed, I think, around 1996. The band was formed by Josh Homme as lead vocalist, lead guitarist, and pretty much multi-instrumentalist. However, prior to the formation of Queens of the Stone Age, Josh was in another band that was formed in the late 80s called Cayuse, which would include some future members of Queens of the Stone Age, such as guitarist Nick Oliveri and Alfredo Hernandez. After Homme left Cayuse and formed Queens of the Stone Age, he and Hernandez, and a little later on, Oliveri, would join his new band. And again, please forgive the brief summary of this. Queens fans know the long, crazy history of all of this. And also the band Screaming Trees even comes into the fold. But I'm not even going to get into this because here on the ABCs of Rock, I try to get to the music and avoid dredging up this commonly known history. So, a little about me and my relationship with Queens of the Stone Age. I became aware of them maybe slightly later on than some. I discovered them at the tail end of 2002 when their album Songs for the Deaf was on a meteoric rise. I don't actually think I really even heard of them on the radio around then, but it was in fact a friend of mine, Chris, who introduced me to the band. I just remember him saying, "Hey Nate, Queens of the Stone Age, check them out. They're going to be huge." I did this a couple weeks ago on the Offspring episode, but I can't understate it enough. Friends and their musical taste have always had a strong influence on me. This particular friend of mine, Chris, his music tastes were very eclectic and definitely opened up my world when we were roommates in college. He was the first person to introduce me to the Velvet Underground. He introduced me to the Pixies. When I was listening to Pearl Jam in my room, he was listening to My Bloody Valentine in his room. When I was listening to Def Leppard in my room, he was listening to the Stone Roses. He really turned my musical tastes on their ear. Pun intended. So anyways, the same friend introduced me to Queens of the Stone Age, and the band has been my favorite hard rock band ever since. And if you're listening out there, Chris, thank you. But also, thank you for saving me from a very narrow scope of rock and roll. So I purchased Songs for the Deaf and played the living daylights out of it. I kid you not, it's probably the most listened to album in my entire CD collection. Hundreds of times. Hundreds! No joke. And I was one of those lucky people with an extra hidden track of Everyone's Gonna Be Happy, that Kinks cover. I loved that cover. So let's not waste any more time with chit-chat and move on, because There's so much to talk about. But before I get to the music, I do have something I want to share with you. Last episode, I teased a little bit about how it's been so long since I had my co-host, Chloe, on the show. And it had been a long time. And I had mentioned that there was a good possibility that I'd bring her back for the letter T episode because there's a band that I think that she would like. But you know what? What better band to bring her back on for than Queens of the Stone Age? Now, most nine-year-olds probably listening to the Queens of the Stone Age would not be their thing. It would not be their jam. But you know what? I have faith in my nine-year-old daughter that she is going to listen to these 10 songs with me today, and she is going to, at the end of this, look at me and say, "Father, thank you so much for introducing me to the greatest hard rock band on the planet." And this is what I expect her to say to me at the end of this episode. "Wow. You have turned my life around. You have opened up a world to me. This... I also may be the worst father on the planet. I don't know. We'll see if years of therapy, 20 years from now is what's in store for you. But anyways, I want to welcome back to the show my favorite co-host, the one, the only Chloe. Welcome back to the ABCs of Rock.
Yay. I'm really glad to be back. I did notice that I wasn't on a lot of episodes and heard the episode that I did last week, and it was very embarrassing.
Wait, why was it embarrassing?
Because you talked about that I was into Descendants, and I guess I am into Descendants, but...
You don't want to talk about it? Okay, well, okay, fine. We won't talk about it, but she loves the Descendants.
I can hear you in the headphones.
Okay.
Even if you try to whisper, I can hear it. Yeah.
Okay, but this should be an interesting show because you are going... first of all, do you know anything about Queens of the Stone Age?
They're a rock band.
They're a rock band, and they have... and hey, but there's the word Queens in it, and you like Queens, you like royalty, and you've grown up your whole life thinking that you're royalty, right?
I've been playing games with myself that I'm like a princess, but I know that it's a rock band.
Okay. And you love rock music, right?
It's not my favorite kind of music.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens. All right. Why don't we start getting into the episode and
yay!
We'll see what happens. Oh boy, this would be a fun one. All right. So, on October 6th, 1998, Queens of the Stone Age released their debut self-titled album on Loose Groove Records and produced by Josh Homme and Joe Barresi, who had just recently come off producing two Melvins albums. The debut album is really a terrific blend of many styles of rock. Each song really switches up the feel, constantly mixing up the song timing, different song metering. No two songs ever sound remotely the same. Selecting songs from any of these albums is going to be like shooting fish in a barrel because I love practically every song on every album. And it's really going to come down to what can I choose that I feel is something that I feel is something that is underrated or underappreciated. The fact is, their music has never really been the type of music that was designed to skyrocket up the charts. So there is this argument to be made that that I go through the discography and that there is plenty of released singles that I could select. But if you are a returning listener, you already know that I avoid singles and hits like The Plague or COVID-19 in this day and age.
Wow. Why did you have to mention that?
However, with a band like Queens, because they have such a loyal following on the concert circuit, I'll also do my best to make sure that I select songs that aren't obvious concert staples either. I mean, I should know. I've seen them live 4 times. So,
wow.
I know.
Wow.
I've seen them a decent amount.
How many times have you seen any rock band live?
I've been to hundreds of shows, but I rarely see...
They actually make like thousands of shows.
Well, they go on tour probably every other year or every 2 or 3 years. Not this year, though. So the first song I'm playing today is off their debut album, is buried way down as track 12 on this album, and it's Give the Mule What He Wants. This is a wonderful, crunchy, dirty, guitar-driven song. Love the opening bass intro on this one. It just will melt your brain. And then it's just full steam ahead.
That would be really bad.
Oh, it's just, and it's full steam ahead on this hypnotizing looping guitar riff. This is actually one of those songs where I actually had no idea what the lyrics were until I looked them up. It's really hard to hear what Josh is singing. And for the most part, I'm just completely caught up in the guitars and, of course, Alfredo's drumming, which is amazing on the song. And speaking of lyrics, I always quote either a verse or a chorus, usually poorly for each song. Chloe, I think you're going to help me, which is kind of the standard that we've set now.
Okay, but before we do that, you probably guys have already heard this. Before he mentioned this, I've been yawning a lot. I've been yawning a lot because it's like really late.
I know. We have a long night ahead of us. So
yeah, we're going to do this till like...
Maybe I might lose you halfway through the show. It may be Chloe in the first half and me finishing up the second half. We'll see what happens. Yeah. All right, let's do this.
But you're going to probably hear me yawn sometimes in the show, okay?
It's okay.
So beware of that.
All right. You want it. You want it Sunday. He'll eat it. He'll eat it one day. How long do I wait? Be the mule that you gotta be. Yeah.
Let's do this.
We'll be right back. right, welcome back. So, Chloe, what did you think of Give the Mule What He Wants?
I think that it was very good, actually. The music, I actually didn't think it would be like that. I didn't expect the song to be like that, but I liked it.
Good. All right. I really do love that song. Like I said before, their music is just so eclectic. And I kind of want to mention a couple honorable mentions on this album because I'm only playing one song off of it. Because I really debated playing this song or I Was a Teenage Hand Model. And if I probably had the guts, I would have played that song instead. But just in case there are some casual fans out there who are actually interested in digging deeper into some deeper cuts of this band's catalog, I probably shouldn't lead off the episode with that song. I'd probably lose about 90% of my audience right out of the gate. Basically, if you don't know, the end of the song goes off the rails so quickly.
So quickly.
it basically sounds like at the end of the song, Chloe, that you're getting an MRI.
I know. I don't want to get an MRI.
hardcore fans will know what I'm talking about. Okay. I feel like I've talked up a song that I haven't played even more than the one that I did play. That should be my cue to move on. So up next, we head into their sophomore album, the second album, titled Rated R, which was released on June 6th, 2000 on Interscope Records and produced by Josh Homme and Chris Goss. Now, Chris Goss was also the producer on the final three Cayuse albums as well. So he was very well versed in the stoner rock book of tricks. And this is also the first Queens album which Homme and former Cayuse member Nick Oliveri reunited. It was I was recently listening to an interview with Homme about his creative relationship with Nick, and I remember him describing how Josh never originally wanted to be the sole lead vocalist for the band. How he envisioned himself being the songwriter working in the shadows. He apparently had some real insecurities being the sole vocalist on the debut album. He convinced Nick to perform on several of the songs on Rated R, and coincidentally, two of those songs rank as two of my favorite tracks on the album. The two songs couldn't be any more different from each other. That's actually one of the things that makes this entire album so great. This album there's just no fear. They play everything. It's primal. It's strange. It's got this touch of weirdness. And it's like no other album ever made before. So the first track I'm selecting off this just insane album is Autopilot. Maybe you're scratching your head because it's probably one of their more mainstream sounding songs on this record, but I just completely dig it. Kicking off the track in style with the radio transmission sound effect, a theme they would return to later on, Nick's vocals are really great on it, probably his most polished on any Queen song. This song has a wonderful hypnotic groove. It's practically soulful. I just need to point out the obvious, Josh's guitar tone. Josh Homme's Baton BB1200 guitar and the tone he gets out of it is probably his musical signature. I will admit, I'm not a technical music guy. I wish I was, but I can't deny the fact that whenever a new Queens of the Stone Age song is released, and I don't even hear Josh sing, but I just hear that Betty Blue of his, and I know it's a Queen song. So let's get to the chorus for this one, Chloe.
I want to fly, want to ride with you.
Is this the best you can do? I want to fly, want to ride with you. High up in a jet plane with you.
Let's do this.
Sorry. autopilot, no control. Autopilot, no control.
A cool song. Chloe, so what did you think of Autopilot?
I thought that it was very good, and I feel like I've heard it before, though.
Where would you have heard that before?
I don't know. I just recognize it somewhere.
Really?
I don't know.
All right.
But I don't know. Really? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe in the car or something.
I highly doubt I played that in the guitar in the car. I highly doubt I played that in the car for you. I don't know.
I feel like I've heard it before, but I really liked it.
Great, awesome. All right, Josh Homme has described Nick Oliveri to be the yang to his yin, which may serve as an explanation for the next song I'm about to play, also with Nick on lead vocals. And here's where I could alienate some of my audience, because this song, I just know, is an acquired taste. But hey, it's my show. And if you don't like...
It's his show.
It is my show.
It's his show. And a little bit of me even sometimes in it. Right. A little
bit.
Like
I say, if you don't like it, the good news is it's probably the shortest song I've ever played on the ABCs of Rock. It's a breezy minute and 42 seconds. So I'm going to play the quick and to the pointless. Why?
Quick and... Okay, that makes sense.
Why? Because I can. But in all seriousness, I truly do adore this song. It all starts with the English vocalist musician Wendy Ray Fowler's Yeah, 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 and it's all uphill from there. Just pure unadulterated energy. Nick Oliveri rips into the song with the fury of a thousand angry suns. And if you have seen him perform it live, and there are plenty of videos floating around on YouTube, you'll notice that he's pretty much swallowing the microphone in order to create that guttural scream on the song. Yeah, you have to check it out, Chloe, sometime. Actually, please don't. For my sake, do not check out those videos. Okay, so, please, do not ever Google Nick Oliveri. Oh, my God. Please. Oh, God. In fact, I should shut up now.
Did he eat it?
Forget, I have to delete all of this. Okay, so I hope you enjoy this one. The whole song is just one giant killer riff. So what's not to love? Here is the opening verse. A little girl can never see. Awkward, stumbling, gotta be with me. I know, you know. Everybody, everyone, let's go. Oh, baby, yes, I swear. Woo!
Let's do this.
I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, 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 yeah!
Who
Okay, I'll give everyone, including my daughter, a second to catch your breath along with Nick.
Nick?
All right, Chloe.
Oh my gosh!
What did you think of Quick and to the Pointless?
The voice. I don't know what to say. Wow. I was not expecting that at all. I did not expect
that. If there ever was a brain melting song, that probably was it.
Yes, that definitely was it.
Okay.
Jake said brain melting.
Brain melting, right.
Brain melting.
Maybe we'll title the episode.
Your brain is melting.
All right. Like I said, Rated R is such an eclectic album, and the songs differ so much from track to track. It's almost like a compilation album of different bands playing, but at the same time, they all have this mysterious elixir that makes Queens of the Stone Age such a unique and special rock band. Let's move on to their next album titled Songs for the Deaf, which came out on August 27th, 2002 on Interscope Records and produced by Josh Homme, Adam Kaspar, and Eric Valentine. There isn't enough praise I can bestow upon this album. I truly believe that this is one of the greatest records ever made. I mean, like top 20. I mean, it's that good. This album sits right next to, like, the Rolling Stones' Let It Bleed, the Beatles' Abbey Road, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, Led Zeppelin 4, Pet Sounds, and Songs for the Deaf. I will go as far to say that, in my opinion, this is the greatest rock album of the 21st century. Okay, I've gushed enough over this.
Oh, my God.
And I think I've already told you a little how I was introduced to this record. So, this one, they brought on Dave Grohl on drums. Now, Chloe, Dave Grohl, I know you probably don't know who that is. He is...
I don't know who that is.
No, you don't know who that is. You don't know. Dave Grohl was originally the drummer for the band Nirvana and then started his own band called the Foo Fighters. And he is... You may have heard of the Foo Fighters.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so anyways, but he was brought on for doing drums percussion on this album, and not just as a guest percussionist, but actually not just as a guest percussionist, which they have a history of doing, but as actually a full-time member of the band during this phase of their career. Also rounding out the band on this album again was Nick Oliveri and Mark Lanegan, who had some backing vocal credits on Rated R as well. But this time around, sings lead vocals on some great songs here. And also needs to be mentioned that this album was technically a concept album. In my mind, the concept is I'm hopping in a 1970s Dodge Challenger and I'm driving out into the California desert, leaving Los Angeles, the Los Angeles metropolis, and its recycled corporate radio stations behind. As I pass through the towns, the radio stations become more and more obscure, and I struggle along tuning the radio stations, trying to find something to listen to. Finally, I arrive at Joshua Tree, where the final hidden track takes on special meaning. I'm going once again with a Nick Oliveri song, and it's the unfortunately titled Another Love Song. Yeah, the title doesn't really do it any justice. Once again, I can't express enough my adoration for Nick's vocals. This episode wasn't intended to be the Nick Oliveri show, but man, after listening to these last three songs and his vocals, what a talent he is. His vocals on the song are just amazing. I love how he delivers the word sick. Listen for that. And also, love the break at a minute and 11 seconds, and there's this killer bridge right after that. I mean, most bands aren't putting this type of craft into their music. These guys are operating on a whole different level. So, love the second verse from this, so I'm going with that. It's never easy. It's not hard. When you've lost your mind with you, it's sleazy. Don't tell me your worries.
I'm sick.
I'll leave you blind. Now the time has come to leave this love that's left you dry. No need to work this out now, 'cause you know there's no reason why.
Let's do this.
Definitely not just another love song. I really hope you guys enjoyed that one. So, Chloe, what'd you think of another love song?
I thought that it was very good. I thought it was just very good.
Excellent.
I'm not saying that much. I'm like kind of tired.
All right. That's awesome. All right. I'm glad you liked it. So up next, I'm going to play possibly the most obscure Queens of the Stone Age song on this particular show. But it is also one of my all-time favorites as well. Quite possibly in my top five. It's a very odd song for them because it's so different. It's not a rock song at all, and it's kind of a ballady waltz. It's the hidden track titled The Mosquito Song, a very unconventional song for them. I know, you're not happy about this one, Chloe.
No, my mosquito bite did really big.
They mosquitoes love you. it was co-written by Josh Homme, Nick Oliveri.
It would be so funny if we listened to this song.
You gotta get a lot closer to the microphone.
If we listened to this song, and then outside when we're going to our house, I would get a mosquito bite. That would be ironic.
It was co-written by Josh Homme, Nick Oliveri, and Dean Ween, a.k.a. Mickey Melchiondo, who is half of the alt-rock band Ween. The song features more instruments than any other Queen song ever recorded. At least 13 instruments were used. The song is creepy but beautiful. It features an accordion and just a haunting melody. Or should I say a lullaby, if you get my drift. Again, definitely not going to be everybody's jam, but the moment I heard the song, I fell in love with it. And there has always been speculation that isn't Josh's vocals, but I firmly believe that it is. Here is the opening verse. I know the sun is hot. Mosquitoes come and suck your blood. Leave you there all alone, just skin and bone.
I know the sun is hot, mosquitoes come and suck your blood and leave you there all alone, just skin and bone. When you walk among the trees, listen. Says grease. The finest meat you'll ever taste. So you scream while I yell. Supper sounds a dinner bell. We owe a fee to worms and trees, so don't be shy.
That song just gives me chills whenever I hear it. If you could just see my arms, the hairs are standing up on them.
Yeah, me too.
Chloe, what did you think of the mosquito song? You gotta get closer.
I loved the first part. It made me tired. And then the... until the third and a half, it got me really scared. And I have no idea why. But I liked it.
All right.
It was always scary.
Awesome. Well, that's what I'm here to do, is scare my child.
No!
Great. All right.
No, that's mean.
Anyways, on that note,
that's mean.
We're halfway through the show, so I thought I'd just take a quick moment and remind you that the ABCs of Rock is part of the Western Media Podcast Network. One thing I can't emphasize enough is that I absolutely love getting feedback. So let me know what you think of the show. Perhaps what bands or musicians you'd like to hear me cover on upcoming episodes. So send your feedback. I can be reached on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. Also, I do have a brand new email address that I can be reached at, which is abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. So you can send me your feedback there as well. Also, before I forget, just as important, please, if you have the opportunity, take a moment and rate and review the show on your preferred podcast app. It may seem like it's insignificant, but every single rating and review does add up, and it helps the show raise its profile, thus finding a larger audience. I thank you all in advance. All right, let's get back to the music. So let's move on to their next studio release, the highly anticipated Lullabies to Paralyze. And it came out on March 21st, 2005 on Interscope Records and produced by Josh Homme and also the return of producer Joe Baresi, who produced their debut album. Outside of their first single, Little Sister, which, by the way, is my all-time favorite song of theirs, I've actually found this album's dark themes to be much less accessible than either Songs for the Deaf or Rated R. It's taken me longer to find my deep appreciation for this album. Maybe it's because of the ejection of Nick Oliveri from the band over what Josh cites as out-of-control behavior. Well, no matter how you slice it...
That happens a lot in my house.
Ooh, boy. It's a very...
Someone named Scarlett, my baby sister.
Yeah, it's a very different type of album from Queens of the Stone Age. Very much a Josh Homme vehicle throughout. Dave Grohl also isn't involved in this album either, as I suppose he went back to his other little band. Added to this mix are journeyman musician Troy Van Llewellyn, who has been with the band or a contributor on every album since, and Joey Castillo on drums. So the song I'm selecting off this album is Everybody Knows That You're Insane, which I personally feel is a direct kiss-off to Nick Oliveri. However, it also encapsulates the yin and yang relationship because their musical sensibilities and stylings vary quite differently. And this song feels like a mashup of their two styles and starts to teeter back and forth between a slow-burning slide guitar, which is a Josh Homme-style song, and the more aggressive chugging guitars of a Nick Oliveri song. It's a bruising rocker that I think you'll love, and here is the second verse. You want to know just how long you can hide from? What are you? Not very long. I have been lost. Down every road I follow, out in the dark and on my way home.
Let's do this.
Love that song so much. Chloe, what did you think of Everybody Knows That You're Insane?
Well, I really liked it, and I got confused at the beginning because, well, my dad here told me that now everybody knows that you're insane. I was like, I'm insane? Like, I'm insane? Well, I was like, no,
well, yeah.
The song is named that. I was like, oh!
Yeah, I mentioned the name of the song again, and you looked at me like, what are you calling me? What?
I was like,
you
what?
Were actually offended for a moment. Then I reminded you, no, that's the name of the song. All right. Anyways, it's getting late, so let's move on here.
Ten thirty.
Oh my God, it's getting late for you. We're in trouble. So let's move on to the next album titled Era Vulgaris, which was released on June 12th, 2007 on Interscope Records and produced by Josh Homme and Chris Goss. Era Vulgaris was an interesting title for an album, and it was easy to quickly find out that it translates simply as Common Era. So for the first time in the band's history, they maintained the same lineup for two consecutive albums. I got to see them on this tour in 2007, and they were in fine form. Actually, I've seen them now four times, in 2005, in 2007, 2011, and 2014. The show in 2005 was actually kind of disappointing. They played the Boston Garden, or whatever they called it back then, TD Bank North Garden. The acoustics in that building, I insist, are terrible, and I still think they are. They opened up, I remember, for Nine Inch Nails. I remember their performance was very low energy. I also don't think their brand of music really translates well to a large venue. Large club venues seem to suit them best, which is why the past few shows I've seen them in were much better. Saw them at the Orpheum in Boston in 2007, which was an amazing tour. And in 2011 at the House of Blues, which was a little bit of an off night for them, but I think they were still really good. But then again, I saw them in 2014 at the Providence Performing Arts Center when they were on the Like Clockwork tour, which was phenomenal. So the Era Vulgaris album, I have always felt, was a true return to form for the band, at least in my opinion. I felt their music was very diverse in a way that reminded me of their Rated R or Songs for the Deaf Days. This is one of those albums that every time I return to it, no matter how many times I've listened to it, I keep on discovering something new. Or sometimes, or oftentimes, songs I loved at one time lose some luster and are overtaken by new songs on this album that I had once overlooked. This album is a prime example of a record that just keeps on giving. But because it's so dense, so textured, I keep on discovering new nooks and crannies on this album. So for instance, the song I'm choosing originally is one of the songs, when I first listened to it, I considered just to be filler. But now the song River in the Road is one of my all-time favorite songs by the band. I love how the song literally gallops forward with this blurry guitar riff. The low register whisper vocals plus the swaggering bass lines create a surrealistic atmosphere that taps into some unnerving emotions of melancholy and desolation and sadness. It's really hard to explain, but the song gives me pensive feelings every time I listen to the song, which is why I both love the song and also, in a way, fear it. Okay. Maybe this is something I should save for my shrink, I guess. Here is the opening verse.
A fast
approaching monster marching in a row. Grab what slips your mind and what your memory won't hold. Run, darling, run. I'll stall them if I can. You'll escape and I'll be riding. You'll escape, and I'll be rotting on the vine.
Monster.
That was A River in the Road. Chloe, what did you think of that song? I think it's great.
I think it's really good, too. I thought that everything went together and made a really good song.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Let us proceed on to the next album, which took them 6 years to complete.
What?
Yeah. They took a 6 year. I'm going to talk about it right now. They took years to complete, and it's titled Like Clockwork, which was released on June 3rd, 2013. This is the first one. This was the first one that was made in your lifetime, Chloe.
Oh, an album. I thought you meant like one whole song. I was like, I thought you meant one whole song. I'm like, an album. There's plenty of song in an album.
Right.
I thought it was one whole song. I was like, one whole song.
So this was done on Matador Records. During that time, though, Josh was quite busy. He returned to one of his most successful side projects, the Eagles of Death Metal, and recorded and produced their third studio album, Heart On, in 2008. By the way, if you are an Eagles of Death Metal fan, go check out episode number 5 of the show, The Letter E, which is an entire show dedicated to that band. And also, in 2009, Josh helped form the supergroup Them Crooked Vultures, which also featured Dave Grohl on drums and John Paul Jones on bass and keyboard. I'm still kicking myself for missing my one and only opportunity to see them when they came through Boston in 2009 at the House of Blues. I think it may have been a money thing at the time. I don't remember, but oh well. There are rumors circulating around possibly a second album coming out. Dave Grohl in 2019 had mentioned that, but I haven't heard anything new since. If anybody else has read any articles or seen anything about a second album or a tour, let me know. I really do not want to miss another opportunity to miss them. I won't make the same mistake again. So, Like Clockwork also had some of its own false starts. They originally intended to have Trent Reznor produce the album. Not sure what side of the fence you land on with Trent, but I would have been very curious what an entire album would have sounded like with him as producer. Trent, however, did end up contributing to a couple of tracks on this next album, and I'll get to that soon, actually. Josh has also cited battling depression during this phase of his life and also dealing with various health issues. So it's completely forgivable as to why it took so long for the sixth Queens album to finally be released. But man, oh man, what an album this is. And it's so different from anything else they have done. It's very accessible, it's tight, it's very efficient. Not too many songs go off sprawling or meandering in weird directions. Pretty much the antithesis of the rated R or songs for the deaf era. What perhaps some could criticize about this album is that it's so tightly produced that it's almost airtight with no room to breathe. The songs are structured with so much precision, it makes me think that Josh really took those 6 years to distill these 10 songs down to their absolute core essence. So to be fair, I love every song in this album, which made choosing songs very difficult. Plus, to complicate matters, I didn't want to pick any of the three singles off this, nor did I want to pick songs that were in heavy rotation on the tours. So I had to perform some high concept arithmetic. This song was technically a promotional single, not an official single, so we're going to hear The Vampire of Time and Memory. I've mentioned on prior episodes my love of David Bowie. He's one of my all-time favorite artists. This is, for me, is Queen's 100% channeling Berlin-era David Bowie. There is so much I love about this song, but mostly Josh's beautiful songwriting is on full display here. The song just knows how to breathe and progress. You think the worst of all is far behind. The vampire of time and memories has died. I've survived. I speak. I breathe. I'm incomplete. I'm alive. Hooray. You're wrong again, 'cause I feel no love. Does anyone ever get this right?
To come and take me home, 'cause I'm all alone in this crowd. Who are you to me? Who am I supposed to be? Not exactly sure anymore. Where's this going to? I follow through, or just follow you for a while? Does anyone ever get this right? I feel no feel is real. To be vulnerable is needed most of all if you intend to truly fall apart. You think the worst of all is far behind. The
beautiful song. Chloe, what did you think of The Vampire of Time and Memory?
I thought it was very good. It kind of made me more tired.
I know. We're also getting, it's getting very late over here.
Yeah, it's like going to be 11 o'clock.
We are so much trouble. I know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're right. My mom's going to be like, slapping him in the morning.
Yep. But we kept you up until 11, after 11 o'clock at night to record an episode of a podcast. This is what I do to you.
When I get into my house, I'm just going to say, I'm going to bed, good night, and slam the door and go to bed.
All right. Well, let's...
That's basically what I do every single night, though.
Let's churn out one more from the Like Clockwork album. So I'm going with the song Calopsia. Right. Reminds me a little bit of something that could have come off Songs of the Deaf due to its unconventional song structure. Calopsia means the delusion of things being more beautiful than they are, for all you know-it-alls out there. So I mentioned Trent Reznor being more So I mentioned Trent Reznor before, and he does contribute both backing vocals and percussion to this track. The song starts with these gentle melodic guitars that create this warm ambiance. Then the second verse completely changes the whole course of the song, which is signaled by this sharp guitar screech, and the pulsing guitars and snarling choruses take over. This is kind of obscure, but I keep on hearing the Flamingos version of I Only Have Eyes For You in the opening half of the song. You can be the judge, but here is the opening verse. Chloe, you with me? I lost Chloe. She's officially out. So I've officially lost Chloe for the remainder of the show. So I will do the verse for this. I never lie to myself tonight. Rose-tinted eyes color my sorrow a shade of wine.
Take the mind.
with Josh Homme from a couple years ago, and he said that if you aren't alienating 15% of your fan base on each album, you're doing it wrong. I like that. There's a lot of truth to that. Probably why a band like Queens has been so successful and has built up such a strong following is because they have the confidence to experiment with new sounds and try new things. And if it doesn't work, they will go off in a completely different direction next time. You don't see Josh trying to recapture the glory of a past era of the band. He's always and only moving forward. And you're either with him or you're not. And speaking of new directions, let's move on to the most recent release, Villains, which was released on August 25th, 2017 on Matador Records. Queens brought on as the producer Mark Ronson, whom would not have been most people's obvious choice as producer. Mark is a very successful record producer in the pop music world, with acts like Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, and Bruno Mars. But it was clear Josh was eager to tap into his pop sensibilities for this next album. Overall, this album hasn't caught my ear nearly as quickly as, let's say, like Clockwork did. But it's slowly growing on me, and there are several standout tracks that I'm really digging recently. One of which is the song Domesticated Animals. This is such a perfect little rock song. It just gets better and better as the song continues. It just bops along. Anyone have a clue what the time signature on this one is? I have no idea. That's what I love about this band. I have absolutely nothing more to say about this great band. So let's just wrap up this episode and get to this final song. And here is the second verse. You get right up, sit back down. A revolution is one spin round. You get back up, sit right down. Dizzy, 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 we all fall down.
Sky, zip your lip until you've picked a side. You get right up and sit back down. A revolution is one spin round. You get back up and sit right down. A revolution is one spin. All for one.
Feral attack, rubber time.
Welcome back, Chloe. You missed the last couple songs, but I think that's okay.
Couple?
Yeah, you missed the last two songs. It's okay. You know, listen, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I think the world will forgive you. ABC's a Rock fans, do you forgive Chloe for falling asleep at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night? I think the overwhelming answer is yes, they forgive you. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You're 9 years old. We can't expect you. I was a horrible father tonight. Yeah, but I am actually the coolest father in the world because you got to listen to 8 out of 10 Queens of the Stone Age songs. And I'm about to wrap up the show. But, you know, I'm glad that you did come back and join me for a moment, because I want to ask you, what was your favorite song that you heard tonight?
Called.
Was it one of the first ones or one of the later ones? I'll tell you what we listened to. We listened to Give the Mule What He Wants. We listened to Autopilot.
That was the Autopilot.
You liked Autopilot?
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe we'll listen to the entire Rated R album together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you shrug your shoulders. Yeah. All right. All right, so we're wrapping up the show right now, Chloe. So let me just we're going to wrap things up really quickly here. So anyway, so there it is. Those are my 10 underrated and underappreciated songs from Queens of the Stone Age, which I do realize is somewhat problematic, but I know fans of the band absolutely appreciate every song that was played today. But I wanted to share some of my favorites that I feel fall under the radar that I know you just won't ever hear on the radio, nor likely will ever hear on satellite radio. The great thing about this band, and I could easily record a whole nother episode and pick another 10 songs that are equally as amazing and play and talk about them as well. You never know. Maybe when the letter Q comes back around, I may just do that. Anyways, I think it's time to sign off from the ABCs of Rock. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here to host and entertain all of you over the past hour. Thank you again, Chloe, for being my co-host. We have to do this again, maybe not starting at 10 o'clock at night next time. I do realize there are literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there that you could be listening to. So I sincerely thank you for spending your time with me and Chloe on this show. It means the world to us. And if you do have a chance, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and let us know what you think of the show. Like I said, I recently got the new email at abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And I also have the Facebook page and the Twitter page. So don't hesitate to find us out there. The ABCs of Rock is part of the Western Media Podcast Network. Thank you again for tuning into the show, and I'll be back, I think, in possibly 2 weeks. I think next week we're going to take a week off, and it's been now about 23 straight weeks where I've recorded an episode, and I promised the family that I would take a little break 1 week this summer and not work, and it's going to be next week, so I'm not writing an episode. I'm not doing any research. And I'm just going to relax. So no episode next week. And I'll be back in about 2 weeks with an episode featuring a band with that's represented by the letter R. So I'm really excited about that. Right? The letter R? Yes. Oh, my God. It's so late. I don't even know my alphabet anymore. Have a great week, everyone.